Well, since there's some folks still coming in, before the class starts, let's do a little review. Did you do your homework, class? Let me see if anybody found out. What's the word that describes a code inside a code? There's a methodology for that. Anybody find it? Enigma? That's a good word, but it's not the one I'm looking for. Yes, sir?
Cipher
is another good word, but it's not the one I'm looking for.
Something graphy.
Yeah, it's steganography. That's hard enough to pronounce, isn't it? Steganography is the word for having a code inside of a code that's design class. There's nobody but an intelligent being that could do something like that. But that's found in your cells. Steganography. And I don't think your cell knows that word, but it has codes inside of it. I also ask you to find out something that has a flagellum on it inside of you. Anybody find that? Yes, ma'am. The male sperm has a flagellum. And I might add, it's critically important for having babies. Enough on that. Okay, so those were two homeworks. I'm going to give you another one today, but we'll get to that in a minute. All right, I think everybody's here and everybody has paper. Anybody not have a handout? Okay, good. We're ready to begin. IT men are in place. And I'm going to begin with a brief word of prayer and then we'll get started. Thank you for being here. Our Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for this gorgeous morning. Thank you for the weather you've provided all weekend long that has lifted our spirits and caused us to rejoice at your nature. We thank you for the time together this morning as we turn our attention to a part of the human body that you have created that is such a majestic testimony to your existence, your power, and the wonder of who you are. It is my prayer today to have the capacity, O God, to speak in such a way as to cause each one to want to glorify you and magnify your holy name and your existence more than they ever have in their lives. We pray that will be the result of our weekend together and that you will bless us toward that end. In Jesus' holy name, amen. All right, let's start with a passage of Scripture, as we always do, in Psalm 139 this time. And this passage says, verse 14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So that's the title of our lesson today, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And so that's another example of what we've been saying in Romans 1 all along. I'm not going to read that scripture again. We've read it every time so far. It's the theme passage that from the testimony of the natural world, you can come to believe there is a majestic, powerful God behind it. It's the argument from design. So we go there again today. So let's get right into the lesson. One of my problems today is I have to stop on time. That's a challenge, and we'll do our best. So I may have to talk really fast, so listen closely. Let's go back to our favorite author, Richard Dawkins. In his book, The Blind Watchmaker, which I have before me, and by the way, I bring these books to show you the books because I want you to get them and study them further. On page 3, he says, we animals, don't you love that? We animals are the most complicated things in the known universe. Biology is the study of complicated things that give the appearance of having been designed for a purpose. He just can't get over it. Everything looks like it's designed, but it isn't. There's the appearance of design, but it's not designed, according to him. Then he says on page 3, the process by which an airliner came into existence is not fundamentally mysterious to us because humans built it. Would you say amen to that? Yes, I think so. What about our own bodies? Each one of us is a machine like an airliner, only much more complicated. Were we designed on a drawing board too, and were our parts assembled by a skilled engineer? The answer is no.
and I'm falling off the stage here. But that's what he says. No, you weren't. Airliners were, but not you, even though you're much more complicated than they are. And then he proceeds on page 14, and I want to turn over there because there's more in here than I have on the screen. He says, we shall explain its coming into existence. That is, your bodies and everything else that looks like it's designed as a consequence of a gradual, cumulative, step-by-step transformation from simpler things, from primordial objects, sufficiently simple to have come about by chance. He is the ultimate reductionist. You can take any complicated thing and break it down into enough simpler steps that those simple things could have come about by chance. And then you have changes over long periods of time and you finally get complicated things. I mean, that's the message. Now, he quotes a gentleman named Peter Atkins in a book called The Creation. He's an Oxford physical scientist, chemist. Listen to this quote. I shall take your mind on a journey. It is a journey of comprehension, taking us to the edge of space, time, and understanding. On it, I shall argue that there is nothing that cannot be understood, there is nothing that cannot be explained, and that everything is extraordinarily simple. A great deal of the universe does not need any explanation. Elephants, for instance. Once molecules have learned to compete and create other molecules in their own image, elephants and things resembling elephants will in due course be found roaming through the countryside. May I do this again? This is an Oxford physical chemist talking. And he says, you get molecules able to reproduce themselves and you're eventually going to get elephants walking around. That doesn't need any explanation. Folks, I cannot believe the insanity with which some people speak and claiming to be scientists. You don't have to believe me. Get the book and read it. It's there. So I love men like Michael Behe and Darwin's Black Box kind of sets Mr. Dawkins and others in their place. Richard Dawkins can simplify to his heart's content because he wants to convince his readers that Darwinian evolution is a breeze. In order to understand the barriers to evolution, however, we have to bite the bullet of complexity. Biochemistry has demonstrated that any biological apparatus involving more than one cell, such as an organ or a tissue, is necessarily an intricate web of many different identifiable systems of horrendous complexity. And Behe's a biochemist, he studied it. And ladies and gentlemen, Michael Behe is a Roman Catholic by religious conviction. I only bring that up to tell you the Roman Catholic Church has given their imprimatur to the general theory of evolution. The Pope has declared that it's just fine to believe in the general theory of evolution if you're a Roman Catholic. So Michael Behe has no religious reason to have changed his convictions about where we came from. He has done it based on the science of biochemistry. So one can become convinced that there has to be a God without the Bible. Is that what I've been saying all weekend? The natural world is sufficient to help convince folks to believe in God. That's what I'm trying to do for this weekend. All right, so Michael Behe, I love the man because he's open, and by the way, he's been persecuted by his fellow scientists for daring to say there's solid evidence for believing in God. And then here's another gentleman that was an evolutionist all during his young career, during high school and college, and he went to medical school. His name is Jeffrey Simmons. But over time, he became aware of some of the things you and I have been talking about, and especially Michael Behe's work. And he began investigating, and he's now a firm believer in God. He's been a medical doctor for 45 years. And his whole book, What Darwin Didn't Know, is all about the human body. Highly recommend it to you. It'll be in the bibliography that I've mentioned several times, and Jonathan now has it, so you give him your email address and he'll give you the bibliography. But that's another good book you ought to read. He goes through every system of the human body and explains how complicated it is. So I want to share with you a few quotes from his book. "The interior of the human body is a much busier place than New York City, London, Mexico City, Tokyo, and Bombay combined. Trillions of cells." You remember we've said 37 trillion cells in your body. "They participate in more than a quadrillion purposeful chemical interactions each day to help us walk, breathe, think, sleep, etc., etc., etc. "The human brain is an extraordinary multitasking, multipurpose biological computer. Every bodily action is coordinated by conference calls between millions of neurons in the brain. Imagine a multinational corporation with 35 billion employees who stay in constant touch with each other and are capable of making trillions of decisions every microsecond." There is no company on earth like that, but your brain does it all the time. "Every aspect of human physiology has multiple facets, steps, purposes, managers, feedback loops, anticipated incomes, outcomes, and double checks. Every function is too complex to have been formed by slow accidental changes that luckily fit together." Thank you, Dr. Simmons. Again, class, I want to say to you, don't believe me. You go read after these experts. The evidence is overwhelming. Which leads me to the topic for this morning. I'm through with my introduction. Today, we're going to talk about fearfully and wonderfully made, our immune system, class. And I wish I had the time this morning to deal with it properly. So I'm going to defer and say to you, here's an excellent book that gives you a wonderful summary of the immune system. It's called Immune. And it's written by Phil Detmer, who is not a scientist. He's a gentleman who's taken it upon himself to make complicated things in science simpler for people. Well, I have to say, when you get through with this, it still isn't simple. But it's a whole lot simpler than reading all those papers that scientists write. So I recommend this to you for all the stuff I'm not able to tell you today. The book Immune. All right. Let's see if there was something else I was going to say before we start with that. All right, let's hear it from Mr. Behe again. Michael Behe says, "Our immune system consists of four things." So you got your paper and a pencil, I hope, something to write with. If you don't have a pencil, he's got pencils back there. Anybody need a pencil? Okay, run, guys. Let's get it done. He says the immune system has four key components to it that are critical. So you see the words up here? The first word, and on the back of that sheet, I want you to write this and then leave some space. Diversity. You see it up here on the screen. Our immune system has diversity, incredible diversity. Second, and skip a little space and write another word, recognition. So diversity, recognition, and then skip a little space and write the word destruction. Your immune system has the power to destroy stuff. And it better, or you wouldn't be alive. And fourthly, it has the capacity to tolerate. So it's got to have toleration. Because you don't want it killing everything like you don't want it killing you. So it has to tolerate also. So write those four words down with some space in between, and we'll come back to that a little later. So here's what Behe says. All of these are more and more interact with each other in your immune system. Whichever way we turn, a gradualistic account of the immune system is blocked by multiple interwoven requirements. Everybody's eyes up here. Those four things that I've talked to you about, they're all interwoven with each other. And he says to us, you cannot develop such a system like that by small-scale steps over millions of years. You need them all interacting or you're dead.
You can't have part of it. Are we clear? Next slide. As scientists, we yearn to understand how this magnificent mechanism came to be. But the complexity of the system dooms all Darwinian explanations to frustration. And I am perfectly happy for Darwinians to be frustrated. And you're frustrated every time you try to come up with some kind of a story as to how this happened. By natural causes. I challenge anybody. I'll debate anybody that wants to talk about this. There is no way this happened by a Darwinian method. All right. Here's the sheet I gave you, which is a broad overview of the human immune system. And so I want to talk to you about that a little bit and give you a broad overview. And of course, I want you to take some notes about it as we go along. But first, let's look at the big picture. So I'm going to blow this up just a little bit, make it a little bigger. And then I'm going to come down here so I can point to stuff. All right, so do you see there are three main parts to this? If I were you, I would circle them. At the top of the page, there's anatomical and physiological barriers. We'll give just brief talk about that. Second, there's the innate immune system. And third, there's the adaptive immune system, each of which are critically important for your total immune system. So barriers, innate, and adaptive immunity, about which we will speak. All right, first, let's talk about anatomical barriers. The best one is your skin, folks. Now, I could also talk about cilia. You remember those are the little hairs? Listen, folks, if you didn't have hairs, you're dead. Hairs are very important. And we could spend two lectures just talking about hairs. Not on your head, in your nose, and in your rest of your body. Very important, but I don't have time for that. The stomach is a very important part of your barriers. It has a low pH that kills a lot of stuff. A lot of your enemies don't like low pH. That means it's acidic. And so they're killed when they hit the stomach, which is a good thing. Because you kind of have an open system, you know. Like, there's lots of holes in your skin. Are you understanding me? Here's a big one. Big problem. It opens up into your insides, and it goes places, and then stuff comes out. We'll not talk about that, but that's the way it is. Here's another hole right here, and right here, and there are others I will not mention that are holes into your system, are they not? Each one of those holes represents a potential problem for enemies, and your body has provided for every one of them some defenses in your stomach, in your lysosomes, in your tears and saliva. You put something in your mouth, your saliva starts working on it instantly and killing stuff that shouldn't be there. And a whole lot of other things we could say. But we're going to talk about the skin for just a minute. And I got to go back up here because I want to read you some stuff about your skin. I told you that this guy, Philip Detmer, is funny. He is hilarious in my view. So chapter 6 of his book, he calls it the desert kingdom of the skin. He defines your whole body as a big, humongous nation made up of all different parts. You're like a mass of meat. And when a little bacteria or a little one cell looks at you, you're a mass. And your immune system's got to take care of massive stuff to protect you. So his chapter on the skin begins in chapter, begins on page 41. He calls it the desert kingdom of the skin. And he's got a picture of your skin here. I don't know how well you can see that. That's about 1 millimeter thick. But your skin starts at the bottom down here and it produces new skin cells. And they start growing up. And over a course of 1 millimeter, over time, they become different kinds of skin cells because they develop. And as they grow up, they get defensins inside of them, which are things that will help defend you. They also get tough because they develop keratin, which is tough. And they flatten out. And when they finally get to the top of your skin layer, they're all dead. The outside of your skin is a bunch of dead cells. I'm sorry, ladies, but that's what you got. Your skin may feel soft, but it's a bunch of dead cells. And you know why that's important? Because they've all flattened out, and they're connected together, and they are tough as nails to keep stuff out. You better get on your knees and thank God for skin. It's the biggest organ you have. And it's continually being reproduced. Continually.
Let me read you just a little bit here.
He says, okay, after he gives a discussion. So the skin is like a desert covered with acid, salt, and defensins, and the ground is a graveyard of dead cells that are constantly shed. They're shed away along with everybody unfortunate to sit on it. 40,000 cells per second die on your skin and are sloughed off. So think about it. You got an enemy trying to live on your skin. Well, you're going to go away just shortly. I mean, you set up whole housekeeping on a dead cell that's going away, you're going away too. That's a defense mechanism. Aside from your gut, which is basically made for and ruled by bacteria, I hope you knew that, your body has invited in. Your skin is the second most populated place of your body in terms of guests that are not you, but that are indeed welcome. Are you aware of this? Overall, an average square meter of your skin is home for around 1 million bacteria. 1 square inch of your skin has about 1 million bacteria on it. Are you nervous? About 10 billion friendly bacteria in total populate your outsides right now while you're sitting there. I don't care if you had a bath this morning. There's 10 billion friendly bacteria sitting on you on your outside. And they're there because they help you. So thank God for the desert skin.
Well, you can imagine there's a whole lot more to that than that. But that's not even getting to your immune system inside you. That's just the skin.
All right. I feel like I need to apologize every time I turn around. Your skin deserves much better. And by the way, ladies, I'm not against your putting stuff on your skin and making them feel smooth. It's okay. But just remember what you really got. You got a barrier to keep you alive. Thank the Lord. But what if your skin gets invaded? That's what I want to talk to you about. You've broken through the barrier of your skin. Now what? The enemy doesn't know what he's in for. Because your body is prepared in a host of ways to take care of enemies. So first we'll talk about the innate system. And there's some things I want to tell you about it. Let's start with this. Let's name the key players in your innate system. So here we go. Eosinophils, natural killer cells, neutrophils, mast cells, macrophages, dendritic cells, and natural killer T cells. Down here in the humoral part, that's the part that goes around in your bloodstream and in your lymph system. You have the complement system, you have the mannose binding lectin, you have the antimicrobial peptides, LPS binding proteins, and C-reactive proteins. Most of those we don't have time to talk about, but they're there. And I wanted to give them their proper recognition today, because you need to realize your immune system is extremely complex. In fact, our author would tell you, and I pause here just a moment to read again from our author. This I find on page 14 of the introduction. Unfortunately, the immune system is very complicated, although that is not a strong enough word. The immune system is complicated in the sense that climbing Mount Everest is a nice stroll through nature. It is intuitive, like reading the Chinese translation of the tax code of Germany is a fun Sunday afternoon. The immune system is the most complex biological system known to humanity, other than the human brain. So understand, when I get finished, I will have done a miserable job of explaining what you need to hear. And I back up now to page 1 of the introduction and I want to read to you a little bit. This is how the book starts. Imagine waking up tomorrow feeling a bit under the weather. An annoying pain in your throat and your nose is runny and you cough a bit. All in all, not bad enough to skip work, you think, as you step into the shower pretty annoyed at how hard your life is. While you are totally being a whiny little baby, your immune system is not complaining. It is busy keeping you alive so you can whine another day. And so while intruders roam your body, killing hundreds of thousands of your cells, your immune system is organizing complex defenses, communicating over vast distances, activating intricate defense networks, and dishing out swift death to millions, if not billions, of enemies. All the while you're standing in the shower, mildly annoyed. But this complexity is largely hidden. Which is a real shame because there are not many things that have such a crucial impact on the quality of your life as their immune system. It is all embracing and all encompassing, protecting you from bothersome nuisances like the common cold, old scratches and cuts, life-threatening stuff from cancer to pneumonia to deadly infections like COVID-19. Your immune system is as indispensable as your heart or your lungs. And actually, it is one of the largest and most widespread organ systems throughout your body, although we don't tend to think about it in these terms. That's the introduction class. You don't want to miss reading this book. It's fascinating. And by the way, you need to know more about your immune system so you can help it along best you can. There's not a whole lot you can do, but there's some things. And you need to appreciate it because it's a gift from God. All right, let's talk about the innate immune system. I've named the main players in it. Let me tell you some things about it, and you need to write this down. The thing about the innate system is that it is non-specific. In other words, when you get an invasion of any kind at all, if it's a foreigner, we're going to kill it. We can't take any chances here. The innate system immediately recognizes an enemy and goes after it. So it's non-specific. It doesn't matter what the enemy is. It's going to kill it if it can. Second, it is fast response. The innate system reacts immediately to things that happen and where you're invaded. And third, it doesn't produce any memory. And I'll explain that more to you later. But the innate system does not produce memory cells. It just kills stuff. And a lot of other things that I'm not going to have time to explain. But you see, those are three characteristics of the innate system. It is nonspecific. It's fast. I mean, it reacts within microseconds. And it's on it. And it doesn't produce memory. All right, now let's talk about the adaptive system. This is the big guns. So let's read here first. The T cells and the B cells are the big deals. And down inside the humoral system are the antibodies. This is the big guns, folks, because this particular type of your immune system has several features. Watch. It's specific. In other words, this is the part of your immune system that kills specific enemies. And you're going to need to learn a little bit about that, as we will explain to you. So it's specific. You need that class because there's some things that need specific retreatment. And it brings greater power to the system. Second, it has to be primed first. It doesn't just happen automatically. It has to be primed. In other words, something has to happen to activate it. And we're going to tell you about that. And therefore, it's slower. The adaptive immune system will happen over days. Sometimes it takes a full week before it comes into full bloom and really is taken over. That's why it sometimes takes a while to get over illnesses, doesn't it? Because it takes your body a while to catch up and get the adaptive system going. And you'll understand that a little better by the time we get finished. And thirdly, the big deal is it produces memory cells. Both T cells and B cells, in the process of doing their job, produce memory cells. And do you understand what that means? That means, remember, they're specific. So this particular T cell or B cell is for that enemy right there, not anybody else, that one. And the memory cells are floating around in your body the rest of your life. And so if that particular enemy hits you again, that memory cell is going to find it in no time and it's going to say, eh, you're dead. And by the way, the memory cell can activate this whole process about 1,000 times faster than the normal. So the memory cell doesn't have to go through all those stages. It just activates and boom. That's why older people who've lived longer can get over stuff and fight stuff better than little kids. Because you've had it. You've had experience. So may I give you a personal example? I had COVID-19 in April 2021. Almost 2 years ago. It put me in the hospital. It was a bad deal. I got over it, thankfully. And I didn't have the vaccination, and I'm not making a position about that, but I hadn't had the vaccine, and I'm not going to. But I told my doctor, my heart doctor, because that's where it hit me hard, I said, look, I want you to test my body for antibodies every 3 months for the next several years. And he's doing that free of charge. He's a nice guy. He's 70-some-odd years old, and he likes to listen to me, and I love that. You have a doctor that actually listens to you? That's hard to come by these days. So he has been testing my blood every 3 months. I just had a test. After 2 years, he said, you're eaten up with antibodies against COVID-19. And I love that. You know what the standard line was. That may last 9 months, right? Your own natural immune system. I will tell you, folks, our leaders in the health system have not given proper credit to the human immune system, in my view. That's just this man's opinion. And I'll speak for myself, I'm ready for COVID-19. Even the mutated ones. Did you know that your natural immune system does a better job at identifying enemies of various types within a strain? That vaccine you took, if you took it, only attacked one spike protein, that's all. And it's training your immune system to attack that. Well, what if it mutates and that's not there anymore? Then you're not any better off. In fact, sometimes you're worse off. Why do you think it? Vaccinated people are getting COVID-19 more than non-vaccinated right now? It's because that messenger RNA vaccine did not train your immune system as well as your own immune system does. That's this man's opinion. But I think it's backed by a lot of things. I got sidetracked. But I'm talking about memory cells. Your body contains memory cells for that specific enemy the rest of your life. Don't tell me 9 months. That's not right. Now, I understand you will drop off some of those that are not memory cells. And if that's what they're talking about, that's okay. But the memory cells are there. All right, you get this? innate and adaptive, big picture. Now we're going to do this. Techie guy, are you ready? This is a video clip taken from Philip Detmer's website. You can go there and look at it yourself. He has a British guy doing the dialogue or the monologue. I have eliminated him because I'm better. And I don't want to say everything he says. Folks, I want to confess to you, that book is totally evolutionary from beginning to end. Mr. Detmer's whole view is, isn't it amazing what nature did over millions of years? And what I'm about to describe to you is what he says nature did. I said, where are you coming from, young man? You seem to be a smart guy. But he talks as if this is what nature did all the way through. I'm not doing that. Plus, I picked and chose a few things that I wanted to say. So that's what we're going to do now. We're going to watch a video, and I guess I better get down here. Nope, because I need some references here. Let me just take this with me. Here we go. All right. You're going to be introduced, first of all, to the major parts of the system, but let's do this. Go, would you? Mr. T, techie guy. And be sure and stop when I tell you. Stop. All right, everybody look up here. This side is the innate. This side is the adaptive. And what I want you to see in this video, you see all those lines? What he's trying to illustrate is that all of this is connected to all of that. Everything's interconnected. That's what that represents. So that's a picture I want emblazoned in your mind. The innate system and the adaptive system all are interconnected. Specifically, class, some of the innate guys have to activate the adapt guys or they don't do anything. And then once they get adapted, they work and compromise with one another. That's all going on at the same time. So that's the purpose of this particular picture. You got it? Let's go on. Go ahead. All right, here's a young man. He shows you a picture of him and stop right there. You have, in addition to your bloodstream, you have a lymph system in your body that we don't know much about, most of us. Are you aware you have a lymph system running through you? Well, you do. And it's a separate system from your bloodstream. It's absolutely critical to your immune system. It's a superhighway for the innate and the adaptive immune system in your body. And there are two key elements to it. The thymus gland, which sits right up here at the base of your neck, right here. And by the way, my thymus gland, kids, your thymus gland's probably bigger than mine. It's just no big deal for you, but it's a big deal for me because the thymus is critically important for your immune system, and over time it wears out and reduces in size, so older people don't have as good a thymus as younger people. But in the meantime, they've developed a bunch of memory cells, so that's a helpful thing. And then the second big one is the spleen right down here. Those are organs that relate to the lymph system, critically important. All right, keep going now. So you're going to see now that the body also has vessels all over your body that are lymph vessels. And here come the enemies. Look at him. He's saying, oh, hey, wait, stop right there. Here's your first set of army guys. I want to introduce to you your army. This first group here are called macrophages. You know what macro means? It means big. Phage means eat. So macrophages are big eaters. And by the way, they are huge cells, huge relative to other cells. And they eat a lot, which is a good thing. Folks, they not only eat enemies and eat them alive, by the way, no mercy. They also eat dead stuff. Macrophages are garbage people also. When stuff is killed and deteriorates inside of you, macrophages go and eat it up. They're like buzzards and lots of other things that eat dead stuff. So they eat live stuff and they eat dead stuff. That's a good thing. Welcome to one of your biggest fans. Well, they're the biggest of your army. They're the brutes. Now, go ahead. Be ready to stop. Stop. You see the pink guys? Those are your dendritic cells. If you're thinking of an army, this is your intelligence agency for your army. Oh, they also kill stuff. In fact, dendritic cells kill stuff, chew it up, and spread its parts all over their body. Are you listening? It's kind of gruesome, isn't it? That's what they do. They suck in enemies, chew them up, and spread the body parts all over them. And they do that so that they can use those body parts to let the adaptive system figure out what the enemy is. You with me? So dendritic cells are your intelligence agency. They pick up information, they kill stuff, and then they go to the lymph system and they identify the enemy for all the T and B cells and activate it. Very important soldiers. Is it important to have intelligent agents in our armies, people? You better know what your enemy's doing. All right, next, you see the other little guys? Go ahead and let's go a little further. Right there, stop. These little guys are your captains. Those are the T cells that get produced in the adaptive system. Very important, because they do all kinds of stuff. I mean, there are like four chapters on T cells in that book. It's incredible what all they do. They not only fight, but they also help and encourage and they activate. So they're busy people. All right, next, go a little further. Right there, stop. See these little three guys? Those are your B cells. And what you need to recognize about them is they've got stuff down inside of them. And when they get activated, folks, they turn into machines for antibodies by the billions. Okay, next. Stop. See the little guys across the top? Those are called neutrophils. Let me tell you what he says about neutrophils. He says they are crazy suicide bombers. He said they are like a chimp on drugs with a temper and a machine gun. I love it. I was sitting in my room at home reading this book, and Marilyn's walking around the house, and she hears me laughing out loud. You can't help it. I mean, these guys are crazy suicide bombers, like a chimp on drugs with temper and a machine gun. They don't care what they kill. They're out to get your enemies, and you better have lots of them. Your body has billions of neutrophils swimming around in your bloodstream as we speak. And if you didn't have those guys, you'd be dead. Now, the fact is, they can also kill you. If they last too long, you're dead, because they are effective killers. You don't want them killing you. But you better have some neutrophils around. The lifespan of neutrophils is a matter of less than a minute, because you can't leave them around that long, because they'll kill stuff without this. They don't care. They're like, what did I say, chimp on drugs with a machine gun. All right, go ahead. Now we're going to take a little trip here, folks. Here you are trying to live a normal life, and you see all the enemies. Stop. Folks, you are surrounded with billions of enemies at all times. If you ever think you're not at war against enemies, you're just not thinking straight, because you are constantly. But your body has a system that God has given it to help protect you. And by the way, these guys give their lives for you. By the way, I want to introduce a new word to you. I was going to have you do it for homework, but I won't be here tomorrow. What's the word for self-destruction of a cell? Anybody know? Yes, good for you. How'd you know that? You've learned. Apoptosis. See if you can spell it, class. Write it down on your piece of paper. Apoptosis. Apoptosis. I pronounced it well enough, didn't I? It's spelled just like it sounds. Apop. Apoptosis. And it means self-destruction. Look, millions of your cells have apoptosed while you sat there. And they were told to do so by your body. Kill yourself. You know the biggest one? Neutrophils. You got to kill those guys or they're going to kill you. So they're told to apoptose. I don't think it's a verb. But anyway, apoptosis occurs. All right, so you're surrounded by enemies. Your skin is helping keep most of them out and lots of other things. But let's proceed. So here we go. And look, there's enemies from the outside. Those are inside. Those are cancer cells. And these are outside guys. Look, from the inside and the outside, you got enemies. So he cuts his thumb and he goes, "Nyeh, stop." You cut your thumb. And to you, that's big deal. Because you know it's going to clot over time, don't you? And heal up, and you don't even have to worry about it. Right? Not right for the cells inside. For them, this meat flesh, this cavernous thing has got a... He's let the enemy in. And don't you think they think it's no small matter? It is no small matter to them. It's a huge matter. But you know it's going to clot over. And by the way, class, I don't have time this morning to talk to you about blood clotting. That's a whole nother story. Your system has a system built in that'll clot your blood exactly when you need it, how long you need it, until you close up the wound. And don't tell me that leaves me 5 minutes. Good night. All right. Let's go on. So here you have the opening in your skin, and look at the enemy come flooding in. And he's looking around. He's saying, "My, this is a nice, warm, cozy environment. I want to take up home here, and I want to start living here." So they start setting up housekeeping, and he says they go around causing problems and poop everywhere, and they're causing all kinds of problems. And so your cells start saying, "Wait a minute, this is not what I got in this for," and I'm starting to yell. So that's a screaming cell saying, "Help! Come help us, they're killing us." So here comes macrophage, your first line of defense. And macrophage is a huge cell. If he were the size of you, then a macrophage would be a blue rhino. It's huge. And you don't want to mess with blue rhinos, right? And he's a killer. So watch. He can take out and suck in the enemy, take him into a vacuole, hit him with acid, chew him up, and spit him out. And he does that constantly. This guy can eat up to 100 of those in a second. So here he goes, eating stuff up. But he gets tired after a while. You see him burp right there. Yeah, well, I don't know if I can handle it. I'm full. I'm getting tired. So call on the neutrophils. They're floating around in your cells at all times, and here they come. Neutrophils also suck in things, chew them up, and spit them out, but they do way more than that. You watch. This cell says, "Stop, don't come near me." So he blows up apoptosis, thank goodness. "That was close," he says. And here are the neutrophils coming around killing stuff. You see, they give off evil stuff, and that kills people. They give off more evil stuff, but look, he's now starting to kill cells. This is not good. Get rid of this guy. So he's going to go up here, and he's going to be ordered to apoptosis. So here he goes. Watch him. He's getting ready to explode. And this guy, even after he explodes, he's killing stuff. You see, these guys die in the mess. And then he says, "I want to kill some more." So he says, what? "Die!" And so neutrophils, boy, they're on your side, folks, but you don't want them killing everything. So that's what happens. And then they start calling for help, because even all of that can't keep this thing from getting terrible. So it swells up, lots of blood, and you have a complement system that comes floating in here by the billions, and the complement proteins start killing things as well. You see how he smacks them and then blows him up? Look, that's another whole three lectures right there. And then the macrophages and the neutrophils and the complement system are working together, but they're all getting tired. So what happens is you got to call on the dendritic cells. Watch. He's going to chew up an enemy, cut him up into pieces, and spread the pieces all over him. And you see, he's now going to enter your lymph system and start looking for T cells, class. He's going to go floating through your lymph system, of which there's a whole superhighway network in your body. And he enters into the various parts of it. There are lymph nodes where lots of T cells are living, like that one. And he's trying to find the right one for this enemy. There are billions of them, but he needs the right one. How in the world do you do that? Well, you start looking around. And you say, "Is this the one? Nah, I don't want him. Is this the one? Nope. Is this the one? How about this one? No. But how about that one? Ah, love at first sight." Stop. What happens when this guy finds the right one? They intersect. And there's a chemical reaction that takes place, and it's love at first sight. And it's marriage. Okay, go ahead. See the love? Don't you love Phil Detmer? I love this guy. All right, and he says, "Now, all right, you've got it. Wake up, get moving. I need your help." Boom, boom, boom. You're like a teenager, doesn't want to get out of bed. Wake up. And when you wake him up, folks, and he realizes his job, he starts multiplying. So one becomes two. Stop right there for just a second. You remember mitosis, class? Okay, here's another case. They mitote all over the place. So two becomes four. Keep going. Four becomes eight. 8 becomes 16, 16 becomes 32, and so on until you have thousands. A bunch of them go to the crime scene, and a bunch of others start floating around to find B cells, which you have to activate. All right, so keep going. Okay. Is that frustrating?
Get the book. Thank you. We got to take a break.